Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church on this beautiful July the 4th weekend. And so grateful for our independence that we have in our country and in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just a few announcements. I'm just going to kind of point these out. Our Christian Gathering Family Picnic, July the 10th. Says they're in need of more salad and dessert. You can see Tom or Maeve about any of these questions you might have. We are getting new hymnals. You can still purchase a hymnal for $30, or you can purchase more in the envelopes that you can fill out. And they're an honor, memory, or celebration. Vacation Bible School is fast approaching, July the 11th through 15th. There'll be 6:30 to 8:30, and it's going to be in conjunction this year with Camp Crestville, so it should be exciting. Shop for calls from Friday, August 26th through Sunday, August 28th. Tickets are $5, and you can see B.J. Morrison for that also. It's not in the new telephone directories, and they're larger this time. They're on the table in the back, so you can pick one up. And if for some reason your name is not in there, or the address is wrong, or the telephone number is wrong, please let the secretary know by calling the church. And so, and also in the front, people are always wondering about when communion is. The very front page tells you the Sundays and the evenings that we have communion. So there's other information and about baptism being by appointment. So, and then, okay, so for some reason you're not in there, got left out, unless someone should be in, let her know, and then we can add it in the ballot. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise is 577, Blessed the Nation. Continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for our freedom.
We are grateful for the blessing of living in America.
We are thankful for the freedom we receive through Jesus.
Forgive us for not appreciating our country.
Forgive us for not using our freedom in Christ to help others.
Help us to be a people who love with our actions.
Show us how to defeat evil. Remind us that we need to act in faith. May we learn to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for a personal, silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Join together here at Glenshaw Valley as the faithful as we recite our Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Take a moment to greet one another.
this has a mind of its own. So, the first time through was the keyboard's idea. The second time was mine. So.
Thank you.
I think you thought that first time was a little fast.
Only in Glenshell Valley. Our responsive reading, Psalm 16, 692 in the back of your hymnals. 692. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Invite Ellen and the door to come forth with prayer and praise.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just have one prayer request this morning, which can also be considered a praise request in some ways. It's from Mabe, and it's about her grandson David. He woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturday all on his own, and he called out to his mother and said he loved her. So I think that's kind of both. Continued prayers are necessary, but praise that he woke up.
I would like to add my sister Cheryl. She's going in for heart cath on Tuesday. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly do thank you for this day. It's a lovely day outside. It's a good, fun-hearted spirit here this morning. We thank you for this 4th of July celebration where we celebrate our freedom in the United States of America. We don't claim that everything is perfect. We have problems, things we need to straighten out. We can always love more and help more and give more to one another. But we thank you for the opportunity to live here, to have freedom to worship, freedom to basically go where we would like to go, to take the jobs that we would like to work at. You're so good and kind and faithful to us. Help us to learn to trust you more. Help us to believe with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind that you love us, that you care for us, that you're here with us now, and that you have a place prepared for us for all of eternity. We lift up our prayer requests to you this morning. Those mentioned, those in the valley, the newsletter, those who are whispering a silent prayer to you right now, we come into agreement. And we ask you not only to hear our prayers, but to answer them according to your power and your love and your wisdom. We thank you for the disciples, the 70 that went out, all those on the day of Pentecost that became Christian, and the word began to spread. And we thank you that before Jesus ascended, he gave his disciples and us this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, the screen song, Let There Be Peace on Earth. Again, as we so often do, we thank you for coming into our lives. We thank you for the cross, even the grave, but we believe that the grave could not hold you, and you showed yourself to your disciples. Then you ascended into heaven. You are seated at the right hand of the power, and we do believe that you will come again. And in between that time, we use the gifts that you have given to us to spread your name, to spread the gospel, the good news, that we can have salvation and life eternal. Lord, bless these people for all that they do for your kingdom. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord and Savior, we do pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today the reading comes from Luke 10, verses 1 through 11, and Luke 10, 16 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him, in pairs to every town and place where he himself was intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborers deserve to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go into the streets and say, "Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Bless the reading and the hearing.
A man was complaining to a friend about the woman he had married and already divorced. They were married about 9 months, and the man said, "That woman made me worth $1 million. That surprised the fellow, and he said, "Why in the world would you have divorced her if she made you $1 million? He said, "Well, when I married her, I had $9 million. It's always important to get the whole story. I want to center on verse 18. How suggestive is the words of Jesus? Listen to it in a different way. "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." It's kind of a strange passage. Jesus is reflecting on the ministry of the 70 that he sent out. They went out and, following Jesus' instructions, were amazed at what happened in their ministry. They returned with great joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." They'd seen Jesus do it. I don't think they were really sure that they would be able to do it. It was then that Jesus said to them, "I saw Satan fall." Has there ever been a time in your life when you look at your life and your own personal ministry, and we're all in the priesthood of believers, has said, "I saw Satan fall"? Not an easy question to answer, but that should be the result of our lives and our ministry, to see Satan fall, to see evil defeated. Satan falls when a person trusts Jesus with his or her life. Verses 3 and 4. "Go on your way. See, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road." That kind of trust is what makes Satan fall. His tactic was to send his disciples out utterly defenseless, totally dependent upon him and on the reception of the people to whom he was sent. They were to carry no cash, no spare clothes or provisions. Jesus was not only testing them, he had something else in his mind as well. To be confronted by these servants of Christ, the people to whom they would be forced to make a decision as to what they would do with these 70 who went out in teams of two. If the people were faced with penniless, destitute men claiming to be the Messiah's ambassadors, they would be forced to decide whether they would receive these disciples or whether they would reject these ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Earl Davis, pastor of First Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, tells a story I think speaks well here. A pastor and his wife drove up to the church a bit early for the evening services one Sunday, and noticed one of the little girls of the church, perhaps 7 or 8 years old, sitting on the front steps with a big suitcase. The pastor's wife figured that the little girl must have had some trouble and was running away from home and came by the church. So she went over and she sat down with her and began to talk with her. A few general questions revealed that the little girl was not running away from home at all. "Well, why do you have that suitcase with you?" the pastor's wife asked. And the little girl responded, "This morning the pastor asked, who would follow Jesus wherever he went? And I said, I would." She had come to church prepared to follow Jesus. We cease trusting things and our own resources when we begin to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. A chaplain was visiting with a man in the hospital. He had a very close call, and his recuperation was going to require a long time and much discipline. "It has been a saving experience," he said. "I've learned that I am not invincible." Then tears came to his eyes, and he said, "I've confessed to God, but I would like to confess to you right now. I've trusted too much in myself. I've trusted too much in my money. I'm praying every day that God will forgive me, and I am seeking to put my total trust not in things, but in Him." The chaplain that day saw Satan fall like lightning, because Satan falls when someone puts their trust in Him. But it's an ongoing effort. It's a never-ending struggle to deny ourselves, to cease trusting things and our own resources, and to put our faith and our trust in our Heavenly Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. But when we can do that, Satan falls. Satan falls when a person stands firm against evil and whatever way that evil may manifest itself. Look at Jesus' instruction to his disciples in verses 10 and 11. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest to you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Now, public demonstrations, and that's what this was, to go out into the street, have been a positive force in America for a long time. Demonstrations kept the civil rights movement alive. Demonstrations helped bring the Vietnam War to a close. Jesus was calling for a demonstration for his disciples and for us today. He is telling them that they are to shake the dust off their feet if the people refuse to hear the gospel. It's not your responsibility whether they receive it, but it is our responsibility to try to tell and proclaim it. When a person exercises the power of Christ in faith, once again, Satan falls. Look at verses 8 and 9. Whenever you enter town and people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Don't get hung up on the ministry of healing which Jesus obviously gave to his disciples. You don't have to jump into the deep end of a pool to get into the water. There was a place about 20 miles from here. I took my dog Prince last year, and it's specially made for dogs to go swimming. The people aren't supposed to go into the water. And you know, a swimming pool, most of them, you kind of got a shallow end and you've got a deep end. But this dog pool, when you walk in, it just slants. They can just get their toes wet, and then they can just walk all the way until it's over their heads, and they can swim. And sometimes that's what we need to do. We've just got to dip our toes in, get adjusted, until we can move deeper into that water. But we've got to take the first step, or we've got to jump in somewhere, somehow. Ray Sexton, a psychiatrist, tells about a troubled man who went to see a psychiatrist. After the usual customary introductions and getting to know him, the psychiatrist and the patient just a little bit, the psychiatrist asked him, well, what is your problem? Why are you here? He reported that he had difficulty when he arrived in his home. He would walk into his bedroom thinking that something was under his bed. And he would bend down and he would look under his bed. Nothing would be there. Then he had this creepy feeling that something was on top of his bed. So he'd jump up and he'd look on the top of the bed. Then he'd think, oh, there's something under the bed. He would bend down and look under the bed. Oh, something's on top of the bed. Back up top, back down under, back up on the top. Over and over and over again, he would do this. The gentleman told the psychiatrist that this was driving him crazy and he needed some relief in order to carry on his business and his life. It was just overwhelming. The psychiatrist reassured him that this was a correctable problem. He would just come see him once a week for about 2 years and pay $100 a week. He was sure he could cure him and find out what his conflict, where it was deeply rooted down in his subconscious. Somewhat dazed, the patient left the office without making the appointments and never came back. The psychiatrist had not seen him for about 6 months. The psychiatrist was out in the local area and went into a restaurant, and he saw Joe standing there. He said, "Joe, I haven't heard from you in so long. What happened?" The patient said, "Well, you told me how long it would take to be cured and how much it would cost, and I was just devastated by that. So I immediately went to the bar and I began to drink. But the bartender cured me in one session for $10. Psychiatrist asked him, "What in the world did the bartender do? How did this bartender cure you?" He said, "Well, sir, I just want you to go home, get a saw, and saw off the legs of the bed." Nothing can hide under the bed now. Cure. Sometimes it's the simple things. The point I'm trying to make here is there's always something that we can do, whether to better ourselves in our lives or to present the gospel to someone, maybe in a fresh and new way. But we've got to step in, or we've got to jump in at some point. You know, Satan falls when a person is so at one with Christ and lives and acts through that person. Look at verse 16. "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." So it's God the Father, Jesus, then us. So we can just turn it around and put it back up. We don't have to worry about ourselves. John 15 says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Satan falls when a person is so at one with Christ that Christ lives and responds through that person. One of the best letters of reference I've received in the University of Medical School at Alabama, according to the director of the missions anyway, came from an old mountaineer who wrote this letter. "I've known this kid from the day he was born. He played with my kids, helped me with the chores. I don't know if he has sense enough to make it in medical school or not, but I know he will be the kind of man I'd like to come here and take care of me and my folks." I think that's very beautiful. And it hints at what I'm trying to say. We can be so at one with Christ that Christ will live and act through us, and we will be kind of men and women, boys and girls, that God is expecting us to be. So let me go back to the original question that I started with. Has there been a time in your life when Jesus, looking at your life and your ministry, can say through you, "I saw Satan fall"? Satan falls when a person trusts Jesus with his life. Satan falls when a person stands firm against evil. Satan falls when a person exercises the power of Christ in faith. And Satan falls when a person is so at one with Christ that Christ lives and acts through that person in behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 20, Jesus told his followers that it was wonderful that they had discovered that they had power over demons in his name. And that was something to rejoice over. But he said to them, the most important thing that you need to rejoice about, that your name is written in heaven, in the book of life. So we can rejoice even when we are failing in our ministry here at Glenshaw Valley. We can rejoice even when we are failing in our personal lives and ministry of helping people to find Christ. Because ultimately, we know that Christ is our Lord. We believe that He is our Savior, and we believe that there is a place in heaven for each of us. May God bless you. Amen. A closing hymn, 479, Onward, Christian Soldiers. My friends, we are in a war against evil.
Thank you.
everyone a happy 4th of July. I hope you get to celebrate and have fun with friends, family, neighbors, whatever you may want to do. Remind you, you can pick up the new directory on the table in the back. And for some reason, again, if your name was left out, telephone number is wrong, email if it's in there, whatever, call the church secretary, Lynn, and let her know. As you go from the sanctuary today, go knowing that the freedom that we have in the United States of America was not really free. It cost many, many lives to become this great nation. It is still costing lives for us to remain free. Know also that your salvation, in a sense, is not free. It took the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to bring back salvation, to pay the debt of your sin. Go respecting and believing and being thankful for both freedoms. Go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Thank you.